Hope everyone's having a great weekend. This is our week in review. A look back at some of the most compelling segments of this past week. Brand new episodes back again Monday morning at 5 a.m. here in the podcast.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for continuing to join us. I want to bring you the audio from court on Tuesday in the trial of Lori Vallow, in which she did not want to come back into the courtroom. They had to do a sidebar. They had to go literally into the hallway to talk to her and bring her back in. The defense of Lori making some arguments, and then the prosecution making arguments, and the judge ultimately deciding that Lori needs to be present for her own trial. This is how it played out in court. This is the raw audio. Take a listen.
Okay, I just had a brief sidebar with counsel discussing our scheduling for today. Given the nature of the evidence we're about to go into and the time of the day, I'm going to suggest that we end up taking our lunch break at this time. We'll take a little longer lunch than typically we would, so we'll try to start back up here at 12:45, so a little over an hour, and we will be in recess until then. So please rise for adjournment.
Your Honor, before we start, they just brought Lori up. Can we have a minute to talk to her, either in the back hallway or downstairs?
You may. Let's go ahead and we'll just continue the lunch recess a little bit. If you'd like to exit with your client, we'll do that, and then we'll go back on the record. Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on KCR 22-21-1624, State versus Lori Noreen Vallow. We broke for lunch and had a long lunch break. A legal issue's arisen that the court did take up a sidebar with counsel off the record. Have been advised of a situation that needs to be argued and determined outside of the presence of the jury at this time. So, Mr. Archibald, Mr. Thomas, I'm aware that your client would have a request at this time. I need to consider that request and hear argument from the state. We'll make a determination and then proceed forward, regardless of the determination, with additional evidence today. So, would it be Mr. Thomas or Mr. Archibald making the motion at this time?
I will, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Archibald, if you'd like to make your motion at this time, you may.
Your Honor, my client wishes to waive her presence at the testimony for the remainder of the day. It was emotional this morning, and she indicated to us she did not want to attend this afternoon. There is a rule that contemplates a defendant waiving their presence. I would ask the court to review that rule and any relevant case law. We would remind the court of the history of this case with my client, her fragile state of mind, the mental health concerns, the myriad reports that have been filed about her mental health do justify such a request.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Archibald. Who's going to respond on behalf of the state?
Thank you, Your Honor. I will be responding for the state.
Go ahead.
Your Honor, Idaho Rule 43 favors a defendant being present for the duration of trial. While there are some exceptions outlined, in doing some quick research, case law indicates that there is no absolute right for a defendant not to be present. They do, however, have an absolute right to be present at trial. In addition, case law is clear, as well as Idaho Rule 43, that a court can require the defendant's present. Similarly, to the extent that a court can order a disruptive defendant to be bound and gagged and remain in court, it is clear this is how important it is to have a defendant present for the proceedings. Further, the state of Idaho also has a right to have the defendant present for the duration of trial. This isn't the first time that this court has dealt with the defendant's refusal to participate in the proceedings or come out for proceedings. We respect that it is the court and not the defendant that controls the proceedings and how they move forward. If this court is to consider the request of the defense counsel for the defendant not to be present, the state would request that this court conduct an inquiry with the defendant on the record. I think case law is clear that that is a requirement in order for a finding that the defendant does not need to be present. But I would again indicate case law is very clear, as well as Rule 43, that this court could override the defendant's request not to be present and require her presence in the courtroom. Further, if the court is to have the inquiry and determine that the defendant is going to be allowed to refuse to participate in certain portions of the proceedings, the state would request a jury instruction reflecting such that it was due to no fault of the state, but that the defendant chose not to be present for certain portions or certain evidence being presented. We would further request that we receive a ruling today that the state will absolutely be able to comment during closing arguments on the defendant's refusal to be present during the showing of certain evidence. And we would ask that that ruling go into effect for any further portions of the trial outside of just today. If the court were to allow the defendant not to be present and we run into this issue again, that would be an ongoing request from the state. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Mr. Archibald, having heard the state's argument, is there any rebuttal argument?
I think jury instructions at this point would be premature. So typically there's a jury instruction conference at the end of the case, so I'd ask the court to reserve ruling on that matter.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Archibald. All right. Well, this issue came up over the lunch hour. I've spent some time with my staff attorney also researching the issue. I've heard argument from counsel, and I appreciate you taking the time to quickly research that issue. I am prepared to make a ruling. So Idaho Criminal Rule 43 is the rule that deals with the presence of the defendant. In addition, a defendant has the right to be present at their trial as secured by both the United States Constitution and the Idaho Constitutions. And there is some authority out there about a voluntary or involuntary absence after trial started. So walking through the rule, presence is required under 43A, subsection 3, at every stage of the trial, including the impaneling of the jury and the return of the verdict. And then there's a set of presence not required list under 43B, which don't apply here. And then part C is waiving continued presence. So the rule does have some contemplation about presence being waived, and that states in general a defendant who is initially present at trial or other proceedings waives the right to be present under the following circumstances. The first circumstance, part A, when the defendant is voluntarily absent after the trial has begun, regardless of whether the court informed the defendant of an obligation to remain during trial. The rule goes on to talk about the waiver's effect under Part C2. If the defendant waives the right to be present, the proceeding may continue to completion, including the verdict's return and sentencing during the defendant's absence. There's one case in Idaho fairly recent from 2021 called State versus Crop, 168 Idaho 948, and that goes through an analysis of the defendant's presence. It states that the right to be present at trial is secured by both the United States Constitution and the Idaho Constitution. like other constitutional rights, the right to be present can be waived. A defendant, after having been present at the trial's inception, can waive this constitutional right through a later voluntary absence. And then it talks about a three-step process to determine whether an absence is voluntary or not. Most of the cases on this issue deal with people who were there for part of their trial and then just failed to show up maybe for the second, third day of trial or something, and what kind of finding would constitute that to be a voluntary absence if the state continues to proceed forward with the case in the absence of the defendant. There's not really any controlling law I've seen in Idaho on what the authority of the court is to override a request for a defendant to be voluntarily absent. But interestingly, as has been mentioned and argued by the state, the rule under waiving continued presence under Rule 43C1B talks about the authority a court would have to have a disruptive defendant continue to be present during trial, even if ordered by a court to, quote, bind and gag the defendant. So I think the rule contemplates that absences may occur. I think that provision of the rule also clearly indicates that the court does have the authority to order the appearance of the defendant in facing trial and proceedings, and the right of the parties to have the defendant present, including the defendant's own constitutional rights. And having considered the authority and not finding any cited case law to the contrary, I do think this court has the authority to override that request of the defendant to voluntarily excuse herself from certain portions of the trial and not others, where she's been here for the first day and a half of trial. And I do find that within the court's authority to conduct this trial, her presence can and should be required in order to ensure her due process rights and also to ensure a fair trial on behalf of the state. So with that having been considered, I have carefully considered the request of the defendant in this case, who is here present, and I am denying her request to excuse herself from this section of the proceedings that are occurring in the evidence presented by the state's case in chief. So that will be the court's ruling on that. I'll prepare a order to that effect, which will be entered into this case, and we will move forward with additional evidence to be presented in the defendant's presence. Mr. Archibald, any questions on that ruling?
No, Your Honor.
Does the state have any questions on the ruling?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, counsel. At this time, then, we'll have the jury brought back in for additional evidence.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
I applaud that judge. He's not putting up with much. Keep it here for continuous coverage in the trial of Lori Vallo Daybell with raw courtroom audio as we receive it day by day. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.